This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.
I kind of wanted to talk about how the CJC wants to handle the working group internally, and how we all want to start making the decisions about who's going to be on the working group and dictating when they'll start meeting and what they'll do when they start meeting, stuff like that.
Let me ask a question. Who would like to be on the working group? Start there. And those people say how it should work.
Yeah, should there be a size limit?
Well, they can't be bigger than this right now. On the CJC that would like to be on the working group. Yes?
Will you not invite members off that are not on?
Yes, yeah. The should members of the all the different policy and code of academic integrity and employee rules and all. So you want me on it?
I want to make sure I know for sure what we're talking about before I volunteer to jump. This is right, United then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. So I had something else in my head and now it's gone. So that's good.
So right now, because we passed them last week, it's the big UA meeting, or the general body UA meeting, we're just trying to figure out the next step.
Mm-hmm.
So now that our charter's changed, how do we, or bylaw, sorry, how do we go about recruiting the people we want to be on the working group and making sure they start meeting and what do we tell them to do?
Yeah.
Do you have to wait for a response from the president before you can convene the working group?
No.
I spoke with Jim, and he said he could, because of the internal bylaw change, we're not actually changing it external. We don't need, we now as a score, we don't need his approval. Obviously, when we actually put something together, we will need it. And Jim even said in that we may be in my conversation with the UA executives, that you want to keep it up. The administration can spring in something in the administration that they have never seen before and going to agree, oh, I don't agree with this, we should reword this. It should be a collaborative process. And actually, in Jim, and I agree, moving also when you're creating the working group, as Jim says, he turns into a pumpkin May 31 if he's not going to the assembly next year, to make sure you have spots for whoever may be on the CJC next year, as well as who may be to anticipate who may rotate off the CJC but still be interested, et cetera.
Yeah, so I think Sarah would like to start. ASAP.
Yeah, I want to get this group together before the summer starts. Just because, President Form will have to get us back to us about the website that we wanted to do, to put all the links in one place and stuff like that. So in the meantime, we can at least try to get this staff. So maybe we can even just come up today with the people we want to invite to be on the working group, not give it a size limit, see what kind of responses we get in return, and then have the working group decide themselves how often they should meet and how exactly they want to handle all of the tasks.
I'd like to suggest that Kathy, as chief of police, or the position of chief of police, is one of the people that's asked to be in the room.
That, or one of my representatives, doesn't have to be me.
I mean, where else can we publicize it? Because we might not, there's too many stakeholders that we're missing. That we
Very good idea. Why don't you do a story in the Sun for the working group?
We could.
I don't know if we're with the EA and the GPS impact that kind of does. They can, how they just put it out, at least their members should be aware. And also, if it isn't that a chief of Cornell Police, I would also reach out to the JA and JCC because
there are some customers, I think, that need to be on there
at
some point, somehow.
And then is Lynette the person that's in charge of the policy 6.4?
Yeah, so Lynette, and then who's the guy who's in charge of the policy on policy?
Josh.
So Josh Adams should be in charge of this.
So I don't know their responsibilities. Perhaps Gina, should one or both be invited?
Well, probably, although I actually think that the cart is getting ahead of the horse here a little bit. Josh Adams should definitely be invited because he is in charge of policy. One of the things that actually through the UA, all policy changes have to have some sort of an abstract that tells how they affect the assemblies, and if they don't have that, they have to give a reason as to why not. It's never really been something that's been enforced or relayed from the whoever the liaison is on the policy advisory committee, but certainly that representative, the policy advisory committee liaison, should be on this committee. I'm not sure that Josh Adams necessarily needs to, because we have a designated person that sits on that, and I think...
I would probably be the right thing to do to invite him.
But if you want to just make a list of stakeholders, he would be on here.
Okay, so, and Lynette too?
Unless you wire...
Well, Josh would be enough.
What's the scope of this?
Yeah.
I think you need to define your scope before you really can narrow down who your customers
are. Can I do that?
Yeah.
So I think the scope is various, to use the word policy in a broad sense, various policies on campus that may or may not be contradictory, and maybe to stand back and look at them all will be useful for people to know where they stand in terms of if there's some confusion about if you steal something while you're raping somebody. Mm. I mean, just that kind of clarification. So to me, it seems like to cast a wide net originally that says we're just starting to do something like this, and we want you to be aware of what's going on. If you don't have the time, that's all right. But and when there's something that we think directly affects you, we want to contact you or at least be in touch.
So I would suggest, perhaps as a starting place, is start with the constituencies that you're trying to collect information from, the faculty, students, and staff. They each, together or separately, have offices that manage their policies. So I would start with the Dean of Faculty's office. I would start with the Assembly's office. And I would start with...
Are you writing all this down?
Probably somebody from the Dean of Students' office. And let them designate how wide their nets need to be cast. Because I think to do it from here out is a little...
Not knowing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, we don't know.
So that, perhaps, it's better to keep it broader and reach out to people like Josh Adams, right, who's in charge of a wide net, and then he can let us know who he thinks would be a good person to A, help draft the Bill of Rights, and B, a good person or multiple people who know all of the policies really well and can help us look for the consistencies and inconsistencies that we're talking about.
I think I would actually do it, again, through the Dean of Students, the Dean of Faculty, and like Mary Opperman for staff, because Josh Adams is in charge of policy, which has nothing to do with academic
integrity. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when someone needs to do something, Josh shepherds it through the system and makes sure the points are touched and bylaws are followed, and he's far more procedural than he is decision-making and policy-making.
So let's say I wanted to edit policy 6.4. Josh is not...
No.
Or no, let's say I wanted to edit the policy on policy. Josh is not the person who would do that, because the whole point of this group is that there needs to be people who are the policy owners on it, because we want to be able to enact changes to the policies through recommendation and suggestion, even though we don't have direct power to edit those policies.
So that's what I'm suggesting. Go to the policy owners. Policy for the three, there are three constituencies in this community.
But like the student assembly does not own the student housing policy. The dean of students would have
all of the policies wrote for students. And the dean of students office would be able to say, here's who you need to talk to for all policies regarding students, whether it's academic integrity, which the policy office would not have, the campus code, which they would have, what are the others? Housing, contracts.
Well, what about 6.4 and other things? But so if you wanted to do something about any of those,
if you did 4.1, everything on the right-hand side, on the top of the page, mm-hmm. lists the responsible office, vice president for financial affairs and university controller for the policy on policy. So you got to get Joanne DiStefano involved with that. All right? So if we go back to 6.4, what did you pull? So when you look up a policy, any policy that you look up, what you did? Click, you have to click on the PDF.
Yeah.
All right. 6.4 is here. So up on the right hand side, responsible executives is the provost and the vice president for human resources and safety services, the vice president of student academic service. So it's Mary, Susan, and right now Harry Katz.
Right.
The responsible working office would be Lynette's offices, as well as judicial administrator and athletics.
So that means we would invite all of those people. We'd invite mm-hmm. provost, Mary Alfman, Susan Murphy, Lynette, and then athletics.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
that would be Anita Brenner.
So then,
which you're going to write.
Anita, what?
An invitation, which you're going to write. Mm-hmm. It might say, we know everybody's time is valuable, so given the paragraph you're going to write about what our function is,
I think what you would refer to is we're inviting all responsible executives and responsible offices for policies for which we are concerned, and you're on the list kind of a thing, which generally speaking, you probably get the executives will probably not be able to come, but the offices.
But they'll designate.
Yeah, and they know that they're right on with business.
Right.
So you're not expecting everybody, but
but I want to make sure that we invite all the people who own these things, because I don't want this group to say, you know, this part of 6.4 is really inconsistent mm-hmm. with how we handle other issues on campus, and perhaps we should edit it to make it more fair in this way and not have someone like Lynette or Mary Opperman or Susan Murphy in the room who can actually go and take that information and do something with it.
You're going to have somebody from legal counsel, and that would probably be different depending on what you're looking at. 6.4 would probably be Nora Salvatore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But for other policies, it might be
Stephanie Sackler.
I think the individuals can check out by the office, though. If you tell the office in general, we're meeting about X, Y, and Z, if you like to attend, please send so-and-so or a designated representative. Mm-hmm. They can figure out who amongst them is the most qualified or who the ballot will actually come as well.
Of course, we have to add the information whether it's pizza or not.
Well, right now, I'll probably frame it as, like, the people who you assign to this working group, at least, and I imagine in the first year, the biggest project will be getting the draft of the Bill of Rights. So I'll probably suggest that whoever they assign to the working group, because I know, realistically, this is going to take a year to do, at least.
No, it shouldn't be at least. It should be at most.
Well, I hope.
So it doesn't have to start again with.
No, I know. I'm hoping that it doesn't happen like that, but knowing how things work around here, it's going to take forever to get a Bill of Rights with everyone like.
You've done a lot quickly.
Right, but I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen next year.
I think it was even, well, we know it's procedural, but on that token, there are some things that aren't going to be contentious. So even if the UA has to, in some ways, piecemeal and say, okay, Articles 1, 2, and 3 are done, they're generally accepted, we can get them in, and so at least you can settle things and start saying, okay, we've locked, we have part done. So that if there's a certain part that's contentious, and I'm sure there will be, it could, we don't expect, we expect, those can be discussed and dealt with, and once they are settled, they can be integrated, but I wouldn't hold up everything just for the sake of one or two could be problem areas.
Right. Well, anyway, I am going to suggest in this initial invitation that the people they assign to this group for, let's say, a one-year term be the people that they want to be involved with the Bill of Rights, because that's going to be the first task. And however long it takes, we'll see how long it takes. I hope it doesn't take that long.
Now, remember, you've been talking about 6.4, that concurrently there's a 6.4 working group that's revising that policy right now. So you want to make sure that there's and obviously somebody from Lynette's office would see that, but there is a concurrent change in this. So what you're looking at may not end up being policy at all.
Right.
I brought actually the JHCC's comment to that working group, but Lynette was interested in adding them, looking at that at some point. But what the working group was looking for is just sort of changing the wording that was just consistent with law so far. So I think what you know is 6.4 is pretty close to what
it's going to be. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. But the first big task is going to be making the Bill of Rights before we can get to the less superficial stuff.
So would you?
They need to have a Bill of Rights to work with. So that's number one.
So you gave us two kind of draft Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
And so two things, one of two things or more perhaps could happen. One, everybody starts with nothing and builds, or they start with your suggested Bill of Rights, which, you know, I'm slamming down anybody's throat, but it just gives real focus to a discussion.
There's a framework, right?
Yeah. And I would suggest, I think at the CJC meeting, we were all, we kind of liked the first version, not the second one. Mm-hmm.
First. You liked
the newer one, not the older one.
You guys liked the one that Amanda and the law edited.
Yeah.
Well, the first one, the reason why we don't like that one is because that one is just about not on.
That can be changed. So you're saying,
well, that's why we edited it. That's
okay.
Why there is a second version.
Oh, okay.
So the second version not only is inclusive of everyone in the Cornell community, but they changed a couple of things around.
Okay.
So they like added a couple of sessions and like took away a couple of things that don't make sense. Yeah. I can resend that around if you guys want. But you guys should have it because our I sent it out with
somewhere in my email.
Yeah.
I think before we get into what a starting point is on the draft we committee will be discussing, how would we integrate to what extent do we want to integrate non-policy holding voices in the committee?
Why would they be involved in the committee? I mean, just...
As a regular working group, that would be a part of the stakeholder meeting.
So,
I think to your point, one of the policy issues that you're concerned about is how changes are influenced, right?
Right.
So, I still feel like this is a little scattered for me to pull together. The Bill of Rights, I understand. I also understand enough to know that there are problems to verify. So, where is this going to live? Does this live in everybody's pocket? It's not owned by anybody. It doesn't, you know, it's not a policy because students aren't necessarily beholden to policy. Thank you. To policy. Yeah. Something wrong there. campus code of conduct is not really, it's not really a conduct issue, but maybe it is, but maybe it's not. You know, where does this live? In my mind, you write that separate from fixing policies that are inconsistent, right?
Right. So that's why I was saying it's a first, an individual task, and it's the first thing that needs to be done before anything else needs to be done.
So how do you write that? Who do you include in the revision or writing of that? And where does it live once it's written? So, you know, when things need to be changed, amended, argued, what does that look like? And I don't remember talking about kind of misdemeaning, but where that is.
That the CJC has a vested interest in the code. Mm-hmm. Well, in some respects, the CJC isn't a fair place for it to live because it gives a little more power to the code. Okay.
So that's why it lives here.
I don't mean to work on it.
Right. I was going to say, so when you bring together this committee with people that, when there's a high-level people that are overseeing a number of things, one of those people might say, I would like this to live with us. I will take care of it. I will make sure it's available for people in the policy or policy groups, or, I mean, whichever, or the dean of faculty or the dean of students. Somebody actually may be honored to have this live with them.
It's
technically still a working group of the CJC, so technically the CJC in the future will be taking ownership of whatever comes along with this working group. If you're wondering about like where online it would be posted and stuff like that, that's like a different question, but it's
not really. I think again, of the three constituencies, what we're talking about is a document that affects everybody, or a portal that has information for everybody, and that in a very decentralized university is we don't have that really. Even in the shared governance,
right.
The university assembly doesn't have the faculty senate information on there, so to speak.
Right.
So it doesn't have any of the union representatives, the union employees. So we want to. It's a great question to ask, and I guess I would suggest that it shouldn't be the person who just has the time this year to do it. It has to be rooted in the right place.
Institutionalized.
Mm-hmm. So I guess when I'm thinking of a Bill of Rights, right? And think about when your rights are violated, where do you go to get? I can't come up with a word today. Thank you. Where you get, you know, there's a violation of civil rights. So if there's a violation of Cornell rights, mm-hmm. right? Private rights. You know, where do you go to seek remedy? And is that the JA process? Is that through, you know, is it different for everybody because of the position that they hold? Because I will say that there's a very big difference between being an employee here that is non-academic employee and being an academic employee, much less one that is an academic employee with tenure, and then being a student. They're very different.
Right.
What your rights are actually very different. And those are governed by law that supersedes anything that Cornell can think of. So that's the tricky part.
That would replace it in the president's office.
I don't know, I guess. But
I mean, centrally, again, in a decentralized place, would make sense. I don't know which office that would be.
Well, then why do we not have an issue with where the code of conduct is, considering that it's also a product of the CJC?
It's not a product of the CJC. The code of conduct is a policy.
The vehicle by which it gets amended.
Right.
Right. So then, then who owns the code?
That's the student governance own, or the shared governance owns the code.
So why can't we own the Bill of Rights?
You can, but it's exclusive.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
When you extend a general right conversation, it depends on how you build it, right? So if you build it to the lowest common denominator, that's going to be the union employees. You have a negotiated contract those that establishes what rights are and aren't. Generally speaking, they're more restrictive, not less restrictive. People who are in a non-academic employment mode don't have the freedom of speech that students and faculty do. So you can already butt heads against those issues, because that's not really what we're trying to encourage here. We're actually trying to encourage it the opposite way. But there are limitations.
But the rights of staff, particularly, I think, versus students and faculty are completely different. They're all very different from one another. So if this is, when you first made the presentation, you and Emily or Amanda first talked about it, it was like a landing page for resources. All this stuff is out there. Where can we go to one place so that students could know where their stuff is?
That's part of it. We passed that last week. Mm-hmm. That's another part of the presentation I want to address.
I know. But it's, if you're talking about starting at a place, I would start there, because that's all the information that will frame up what your rights are. All you're trying to do is not articulate anything new. It's, what are our rights? We don't even actually know.
Right.
So let's find out what policies actually govern each of these three separately, collectively, and then articulate it.
Yeah, we're past that step.
We're not, because we don't have it.
We understand that that has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm coming up with a list of the stakeholders who need to be involved in that conversation.
But you're trying to, with those high-level stakeholders, you're trying to change stuff. All I'm suggesting is the stuff is there.
We don't know even what we need to change. We don't
gather it up.
We need research.
Yeah, so gathering up in order to make the Bill of Rights.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't need high-level stakeholders to have that conversation at all.
That's just what I'm going through the man hours to figure out. Okay,
well, yeah, actually, Amanda, then in that case, it's already done, because we have a pretty solid draft.
Well, I wouldn't say it's already done. I would say one person has done it, and
now we need to send it around, and we need other people to add to it. But this is like a totally different conversation than the one that I thought that we were going to have today, which is fine. But we just need to be explicit that what we're talking about. So right now, you're talking about once we already have a draft.
I'm not talking about drafting anything. I'm saying before you can do anything. Really, what you're talking about, this Bill of Rights, is a restatement of stuff that already exists. So gather the stuff that already exists. It's all out there. All these policies and housing rights.
There's two ways to look at it. The one way to look at it is we have rights. We don't know what they are. We gather them. We figure out what they are and they need to change. The other way is to say, here's the rights that we want to have. Do we have them? What needs to change in order to make that work? So, two different approaches to try to get to the same goal of alignment. The question is what's the best way to go about it? Because you don't want to end up reinventing the wheel.
Right.
You want to just create a Bill of Rights that doesn't live anywhere. Let's just look at that and say, okay, how does anything that we have interfere with this?
I guess my proposition was, what the discussion has been, is let's do this, let's collect all the stakeholders, get all the policies together, look at them in the first place, and then go ahead and expand conversation to what we want to change about them, if we want to change anything about them.
Right.
So before you can identify who the stakeholders are, you have to identify which policies are you're being included. Do we have a list of that? That's my question.
Yeah.
Do we have a list of all the policies?
No.
Okay. So that would be the first thing.
So then
I can identify the
conversation that we need to have.
Yeah.
Okay. We're really trying to find the stakeholders by finding the policies that we think are
We want this to just be pre-existing. We don't want this to be anything new or exciting. This shouldn't be controversial. It will be because of where we are. But
so from, I guess, the faculty perspective, there's the faculty handbook that probably has rights in it.
Right.
You don't read it every semester?
You know, I fall asleep so easily, I don't need it. and the Code of Academic Integrity.
Right.
Right. So maybe as our groups, we can say what we think for policies might be.
You start there, look at those stakeholders, and then you get, you literally ask the other stakeholders to say, are we missing anybody? Here's what we got. Are we missing anybody? And you do a little fishing expedition. And then start, you know, never fails. You think you got everybody. As soon as you publish something, somebody say, hey, you forgot me. So we'll catch up after that. But
so email, basically, email with invitations to all of the current policies that we don't want this Bill of Rights to conflict with, and we want this Bill of Rights to take stuff out of, right? Because we just want the Bill of Rights to take pre-existing.
So are you, with this email, are you just asking for information?
Yeah.
But not people, right?
We're just asking. Now we're in a completely different step of the process than I thought we were by having this conversation. So forget about the stuff that we were talking about before.
Okay.
Now, basically, we're emailing the owners of all the individual policies that we don't want the Bill of Rights to contradict with,
mm-hmm.
and say, we're thinking about drafting a Bill of Rights. We would like you to be involved because of the policy that you're in charge of. We want the Bill of Rights to just be based on pre-existing policies. We don't want it to contradict anything that you've already been working on, and we would like you to be involved as a stakeholder. So that's the initial invitation. Whether or not these people should be on the actual working group or not is something completely different. And I have no idea whether you guys think that these people should be on the working group or should not be on the working group. My understanding was these are the people on the working group.
These people should be aware and at any level they may want to have representatives on the group if their policy is the other policy or like.
So they can have the option about whether they want to be on the working group or they just want to take a look at it before it's done.
That they're, I don't know how you can make them a member.
I would have a core group of people who are working on it, and then as we get to, okay, this part of the Bill of Rights will we'll deal with the policies, we say, okay, your policy is currently being discussed and integrated, come and talk to us so we can have a conversation and figure out what it says, what we want to include. Because if I'm a policy owner and my policy isn't going to be discussed, my input, I think, would not be as, if you want to provide your input, obviously, but we don't need to start putting people in there if we're not talking about policies that are relevant to them, particularly.
Because they're busy.
Yes.
Right. So,
and if I may, too, I think that there's the working group is you send out this email to all the stakeholders, you get back all this information. The working group then is taking all of that and figuring out, okay, here are the rights that we actually have, and comparing them to the ones that you've already articulated that you do want, or you know, peer institutions have, or whatever they are. Doing some sort of that alignment so that there's a draft of something that, as Matthew just said, then that goes back to the stakeholders and say, okay, here's where we're including your policy.
What information are you, in that scenario, what kind of information are we asking them for?
The policies that you're aggregating. Isn't that what your email is?
Oh, so two things.
Okay,
one,
no,
first,
this is completely different.
First, here's the policy. Please send us the policies. We're going to aggregate them. We've looked at, we think we have everything. If you think of something we missed, please send that too.
Okay.
All right, so now we have all the policies together. We're going to look at all these policies as we're drafting a Bill of Rights.
Right.
So there's too much for us to look at, even when they're all together. So when we draft this Bill of Rights, we may get a lot of things wrong. And we want you to look at this, but this is a draft of the Bill of Rights. We're not shoving anything down your throat. We're just using this as a framework.
And I think I would take it in very small bites. I think what you're trying to get to the end product very quickly, which I understand, but what we're going to have to probably do is literally draft the Bill of Rights that we want. You know, beg, borrow, steal, align it the best way we can, call it a draft, and say, This is our document. We're going to own it for the moment. And then we're going to have to, independent of any stakeholders, say, here's the policies we think that affect it, or will be affected by it, or could be translated to use this, or be held against this. Mm-hmm. And then when you've assembled that list, then you're going to have to send that out to those stakeholders and say, here's the list of the policies we think are affected by these words, which is in a draft. But that, those are in stages. So the very first email you send out, you're going to be providing them with a draft bill of rights and a list of policies you think are affected. And just to give you the scope of this, every college has their own handbook. There are 11 colleges, so you're going to have to go with those handbooks. All right?
And there may even be a university and a college handbook.
There used to be a university handbook. I don't think there is anymore. They deferred the code on that. There was some level of thing.
Okay, so first, we, meaning probably me, we'll need to collect all of the policies that we think would need to be in the draft. Then, number two, we have to make a draft, keeping all those policies in mind.
No, but we don't, because in no way, I'm telling you, that the human resources, rights and responsibilities policy, you're never going to get through that zone. You're just going to label it as, here's a policy. All you're going to say is, independent of all these things, what we're trying to do is say, you have the rights to this. Right. So you're not actually trying to write a policy, you're trying to say, here are your rights. So it doesn't actually matter to you, us, as a group, to go through these
45 our policies.
All we have to do is send it back to the owners and say, here's our Bill of Rights, how do you think it might conflict with your ownership? And kind of put the onus backwards, get someone who would come to a working group and help us work on where there might be places of conflict. There are probably a number of different ways we could word it.
And maybe even say, here's where we think this right in our Bill of Rights probably has something to do with your policy. Could you help us find where that would be so we could point it out to people?
Okay, so I still think that we're saying the same thing and you guys think I'm saying something else.
It just sounds like you condensed several steps into one email, which is where I'm hearing.
Okay, so we send a draft. Once we I want to hear a list of steps from you guys, like one by one.
Okay, I said first you want, you said you, I would say let's try and figure out some people who are going to, even not final, but some people who are going to serve as that core group that are going to help figure out everything. Because I think doing one head of one person doing this is a recipe for something to burn out really quickly. This is a huge gap.
Yeah.
So first I would say that would be worth. Get a group, whether they're on it or not, someone who's involved and interested, and have them willing to
know. So, small informal group. Okay.
I'm just doing data collection at that point.
Yes.
Okay. So then, the small group.
Yeah, at some point, if Connor's
request. Data.
It's somewhere in there you want to, you know, where are our checks and balances, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just because we think these are the only things affected doesn't mean they're the only things that are affected. So how do we go a little more public and say, not, hey, tell us how you change a policy, but just, you know, in your travels here at Cornell, have you run aground of a policy that you feel is unfair or come up with good words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something that you think needs to be addressed through procedural or we want to provide support for. So, yeah, host a special email box, somebody winnows through, 95% of them come up, they hate the campus code of conduct, 5% hate, you know, 6.4, and, you know, 2% hate whatever. Then many people hate multiple things.
That's why I'm going to start a scapegoat business.
What would be the avenue for disseminating that
call? I don't know, and that's the question, right? So, yes, okay, so an article in the Sun and the Chronicle and something that the faculty reads.
Yeah, but we want to target the policyholders, not like the... Because I don't think that many policyholders are looking in the Sun for those sorts of announcements.
The policyholders we can directly go for.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
That's easy. They're up in the upper right-hand corner of any policy that's written. There's a provenance for how the code was created and who controls that. Those are the easy grabs. What I feel is hard to get is the people that feel disenfranchised, have no voice, have no vehicle, have no way to get to these systems to affect the changes that they want to see.
Okay. Well, I think, an article in the Sun would be great. We could possibly try to hold some sort of program, either to the UA or SA or some other.
Yeah, a convention.
Yeah. Yep.
if that was on my list of things to do.
And have some preset, even just a Qualtrics survey, something online that people, if they can't be present, they can participate in. There are a lot of resources that can help us write that and really give us the information that we want.
I have a question, though. Again, we're talking this conversation is about changing policies.
It's simply about identifying policies that people think affect them poorly. That's literally it. So whether or not they do or don't, we need to ask the question. So just because I think it's the campus code of conduct, every student handbook that we've got, and the entire policy manual of Cornell, doesn't mean there's not, maybe I left off the academic integrity code. Maybe I left off there's some weird little policy that somebody's run aground of somewhere.
Then I'll put on the right to their
discussion.
Okay, so then once we have this survey of the common man and all constituency groups, we do a Qualtrics survey, we have a convention, we put it in the sun, we figure out what policies people think affect them poorly, what would you think the next step would be?
Or great one.
Or great one, sure.
Like I said, we have lots of resources that we can frame any type of a survey that we want to do in a way that's actually beneficial and not a launch pad for a diatribe, right?
We have to have a way to winnow through. Would you like to be contacted by the working group or participating working group?
If we're doing this, we would have a little question in there
If you're interested in joining the working group,
also, would you want to join? Okay.
Or do you just want to be on an email that still be send announcements out occasionally, or just see the preview document before it goes forward?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So those are ideas for the survey, and I think
that's meant to be inclusive right from the very beginning.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. There's ADA stuff. This is a huge undertaking. I would love to get it done. That's why I'm actually saying we start with a Bill of Rights that we draft independent of anything else that exists on this campus. Try to be reasonable about it, right? Everybody has the right to apply. Okay, no. We do the best we can with it and give that starting point. And once we know what policies we're running, people are running afoul of, then we can go back to those stakeholders and say, look, you really need to come in here because people think that your policy does this. So in a way, we're just a conduit of information. So we get them through the working group. That's when we say, all right.
Okay.
Either we change the Bill of Rights because this is a pie in the sky, we're never going to achieve it, or we change a policy to the best ability that we can without going against any laws we move forward.
So you're saying once we get all this information from a survey, then we convene a working group.
Yep, identify and convene, yep.
So we'll ID and then convene, and then once we get together, we draft the ideal, in quotes, Bill of Rights, keeping in mind the survey results.
Mm-hmm. Getting stakeholders.
Who's convening? Just in case you get, 92 people that say I want to be on the working group, is it the CJC? Is it the chair of the CJC? The UA? Who is going to decide that? Gary, you better run for GPSA rep next year.
No way.
You was the president. You were
going to
run
for
that. Gina, I don't know if this is possible, but if some of the policies, anyhow, that we know of, we could get links to them, to the CJC link part of the website.
We can do a little advanced research easy. Right.
And what I was going to say is, if it's before freshman orientation, as people are being handed out all the things and don't remember anything, maybe some of them remember there's one central study.
Yeah, well, that's something else that I would want to set up a meeting with Gina about, because Gina said that it would be really easy for us to get all of the policies that are relevant on one website, and we actually passed that in one of the two resolutions that were passed in the UA.
Right.
So that's something that's separate than what the CJC needs to do.
Right. The only thing you need to do is have a feedback button in there that says, if you think we missed something, here's where you send it. I mean, that's as open as you can be.
Web design is really together.
Okay, so what...
And what I said easy is, I'm not creating any content.
No.
The content...
No, no, okay, it's just links. It's just links.
But
that's... I just want hyperlinks.
People sending the stuff.
Yeah.
So that, again, it's the same list that we started with. It's who are the groups that we need to get this information from?
No, it's not. It's really not.
Somebody has. I have to write to somebody to say, hey, send me the ADA policy so I can link to it. Somebody's got to send me the off-campus housing, where do I go because I'm getting screwed on my landlord thing. Somebody's got that. Somebody's a stakeholder.
Right. So this group has a lot of knowledge, and we can get through a lot of that as this group, is what I'm trying to say. You don't have to do it alone. I know the answers to three of those four questions.
I'm trying to cut hard on this.
And the fact of the matter is, we're going to miss stuff. We're not going to do it perfectly. And it's a work in progress. And, you build it. You build it. And, does this affect that? Or that affect this? And, there'll be people who think that the video surveillance policy affects them. There'll be people that think that there's a... I don't know, the drone policy affects them, and the drone policy, I'm making that one up.
Well, let me just interject. I think, again, my understanding of this is, the impetus was, students, faculty and staff, but primarily students are on campus, and they don't know what they're allowed to do.
Right.
So we're going to tell them what they're allowed to do. These policies exist. If somebody doesn't like the drone policy, that's the punitive. That's what you can't do. But all we're trying to do is collect all of this stuff from all these different places so that it's easy to navigate being a student here.
No, I understand.
That's like only one component.
Yeah.
So the reason why this is all confusing, the reason why this is getting confusing is because there are multiple components to the legislation that we passed, which is a function of how we wrote them, but it's not. So the website thing is going to be really simple compared to all of this stuff. So what we can do is, I was actually planning on setting a meeting with you. I'm going to be out of town this weekend, but I was going to email you on Thursday, so we could set up a time for next week, so you and I can figure out how we can get the website together, and for now, we can get a little button on there that says a working group is being convened to look at all of these policies.
If you're ahead of it too far.
Didn't you say you wanted a feedback button?
If we missed a policy, do you think?
Oh.
Yeah, just again, do you want to add to the list? Very simplified. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if we missed a policy.
Did we miss a policy you think should be listed here?
Okay.
I don't care who you are.
So then we'll put it in
the first.
And then eventually, once the working group gets started, we can add.
And then we'll either ballot or won't. I mean...
Okay, so that'll be really simple for you and I to do. That's a different conversation. I think we can say that we're done with that for now.
I want to make one suggestion to ensure that this, it says on the website, this is not a complete list, so somebody...
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, so somebody can't say
wasn't
on this list.
And that's why you put the button at the bottom. Say, before you go to get there.
It might be a stupid question, but where would that button go? What email address would that feedback be sent to?
Well, that we can build. We can figure that out. I know.
Okay.
We don't go to who's ever on the list. We just create a list for whoever's on it.
For whoever's on the working
group. It'll go to me, Tom.
Whoever the people are that should get that information.
And you?
Well, it's us. I mean, it's us.
Mm-hmm.
So, no brand.
Okay.
There must be an override thing you can do that, but I don't remember.
You signed your report.
Oh, the override is just don't worry about that.
Okay. So, the website's got to be taken care of. So, in terms of how we're getting started with the Bill of Rights, this is what I've got. Get an informal group of people together, get that informal group of people to start looking at all these policies and get them to send out a survey to everyone to ask them what they think about the policies that are currently in place and if they want to join a working group. From that, we can get people into the working group. Then once we have the working group, we can draft an ideal bill of rights, keeping in mind survey results. Then we're going to invite the people who own the policies in question that might or might not conflict with the Bill of Rights, but either or, it doesn't really matter. We'll invite them to come to the working group and revise the ideal draft, and then we'll bring it to BJC so it can go through DUA, and then the bills will get passed.
I think the 5 and 6 are actually together. If you're going to invite them, you need to invite them at the beginning and not...
Well, don't we want to come up with the ideal one?
Honestly, I would do it today if we had time. I think that's where we're at. You had some great drafts. I think you call your first draft as, you know, where that some people like it, some people don't. I get it. You can even go so far as to say, we had 2 drafts here, too. What do you like about one? Don't you like about the other? The giving people a framework to start with usually speeds the process along a little bit.
Right. So if we can work with the draft that we currently, with the draft that we currently have, then that's fine by me.
That gives people an idea and a scope. So when you ask for someone to be on a working group, you don't frighten the heck out of them. And you know, you get one of 2 things. You get someone who's going to, their Bill of Rights is going to be 42 pages long. You've actually compounded the problem. Or you're going to get somebody who's really got good stuff to add, but they're not going to come forward because it looks like same old, same old or something.
So when we... So you, it sounds to me like you're going so far as to say that when we survey people in the community, we should attach Bill of Rights to it.
A sample. Along the lines of, you know, this. And you could say, here's the one that we've drafted, but hey, look at this. School A has this one.
There's your links to put on to the other Bill of Rights.
This is all research that we've already done.
Right.
FYI.
But good.
And I've read like 40 different schools and Bill of Rights.
So you're giving people an easy way to say, okay, I just want to check.
And then buy it.
That's what you're saying.
Look at all these schools.
It's like citing the sources for research.
Yeah.
Really, it's one of those things of like, you know, I did look, and I'm not just making this up.
Yeah. And ours is better for this reason.
Right.
Or,
I hate the word best practice. We do the best thing, period.
Right. I mean, there's no right to swim in the gorge, right?
Yeah.
But people might have an interest in saying that, and there has to be a voice, a place for that voice to be heard.
And I locked that down a long time ago, graciously. But I had to say something.
Get out of what you got.
Okay.
I just brought it back up the gorge too.
Yeah? Because the summer?
Spend a lot of time telling people what they can't do. What can students do, and what can the community do? And not swimming in deep lake. But there may be canoeing out deep lake.
Sure would work.
Yeah. And I think Kathy sent the things around that said there's buses that are going to.
There was. I don't know what the park is. It's all to state parks.
Right.
And TCAT.
Yeah, so that was
yep.
A nice.
We did the best we could.
Instead of, you know, Nancy Reagan just say no.
Yeah.
It was a
say
yes to this. And yeah, that was good. That was really good.
I also asked about swimming at Stewart Park. We have this beautiful lake, nobody swims in.
I do.
Well, because the state parks will yell at you. Trust me, I got yelled at.
I said at Stewart Park, they said the sediment.
They got to do a big cleanup there.
So where are we?
So where we are right now, I think, is we can accomplish a lot by email. You know, you're willing to be the repository of lists of potential policy collection, then let's all
in
just, in our mind's eye, send...
I'll up a box, and I'll put everybody have access
to
the box.
That's great. And we'll just, if we don't see it on there, we'll add it on there. And we can pull our peers.
Could you remind me
that the box has just come from your brain? If you know people who are particularly vocal about it and want to have something to say about it, here's a start. It's not a finish, it's a start. And then once we get a critical mass accumulated, then we build a site with a little button that says, what will we forget?
Right.
You know, send it here.
Actually, I think the end part, that's the easy part. The legwork, once that's done, it's just a matter of putting it.
Right, because we've already kind of done, we've already, in theory, drafted a decent bill. So for some of this stuff, we're going to have to go backwards.
Well, it is a decent bill. And you probably want to go backwards?
It's just because we're already here. I mean, obviously, we don't have feedback yet.
You're an engineer. Are you an engineer?
I think the effort we have is being wasted. It's just a matter of
I don't mind that we're going backwards. It's just that, like, we just have to keep in mind what we're doing for stuff that we're not starting from square one.
Okay.
Right. And I think that is always the intention of people who are organized in this fashion to not understand how those systems work. But what happens is the people who aren't organized in this fashion and don't understand the system or don't feel like they have access to the system, that's where they feel like they don't have input. So it's like, that's nice that that works for you. But I had this, you know, I printed on blue paper in, you know, calligraphy font, and that's what I like. Never mind the content. You know, it's like there's everybody has their own drive. And so when we're creating this list, I would be cautious to not exclude. And the only reason I would exclude it is if it's not a policy on the ground. I wouldn't pass any judgments about whether or not it has relevance.
Connor, what's your plan, I think?
CH-732.
Is Gary Stewart the right person to invite to this for policies that may not quite know whether it's Cornell or College Town?
I would say Goody, John Gutenberger.
Is that the
right person? Yeah, he's more of a policy guy. And Randy, I thought I had you under here, but I can't find your amendment.
ROW1.
I had two. Not
so oh, which, by the way, Karen Davies, if anybody has followed her career as a rower and gold medalist, Ithaca and stuff like that, she just entered a race, won a race, Cambridge versus Oxford. They did the men's course instead of the what was previously a women's course.
ROW1.
And her father, Peter Davies, who I work with, wants my email. ROW1.
Yeah.
All right. Who else is on our? Well, I've added everybody here so far. But yeah, I've got everybody here. Who else is on the?
Why did you put Judy on
there? Joseph. Mm-hmm. He's actually really interested in this. He had a previous.
Maybe including like Amanda and Juliana would be a good idea.
And there are some people who have done a lot of work. Let's put them on there and just be really clear that all we're looking for is a list of potentially impacted.
Yeah. And Joe Burns for the Code of Academic Integrity and the Faculty Handbook.
Well, I think before we add him to a box.
This is about
we're basically looking to make a list so that we can make a website from the list.
So that you can send out the email, right? Not the website.
You just did your job for him. I just listened to those two things.
Thought we were, you know, my understanding of what we're doing right now is talking about the things that need to go on the website.
Yes, this is a list of policies.
That's a list of policies.
Yep, so right now we're just brainstorming a list to do this. This has nothing to do with me emailing anyone else.
Oh, no. She's creating a box so that we can all look at this list as it gets created pre-website posting.
Got it.
So those names that we're shouting out are names that will add value to this list.
Okay.
So the short list that you've got is fine. If we have to
graduate.
Yep. And we could add Emily, too.
Because Amanda's going to graduate.
So we're basically just adding people to the box who would add value to the list of policies for the website.
Judgment.
Gutenberger, we said Amanda.
Emily.
Emily's last name is Ben Chirico.
I forget where the I is.
It's spelled just the same way.
What?
Is it Christine?
Emily.
Emily.
S-A-M-T-H-I.
I can get her that idea to meet it.
Thank you.
I suggest if there's like a fight harvest or something of disabilities or...
Yeah.
Well, again, for this box right now that I'm doing,
this is
just us.
Okay.
Yeah, this and is then, just us. The people that have already done work on it, just so that they can make sure that we're picking up everything that they've already added to that.
EAF 427. And it's San Carrico. I don't know.
Come on, man, you're a Battaglia.
Mm-hmm.
You can give up on the San Carrico.
Technically, the Italian way
to
say it is
Italia.
It's
the Italian. EAS 427? All right, and do you have Amanda?
Yes. Yeah. ALM something.
Yeah.
I get an email.
Amanda, what's your last name?
ALM 362.
Thank you. All right, so I have KV, Sarah, Rower One, Matthew, Connor, John Gutenberger, Emily, and Amanda.
So yeah, I wouldn't put anybody else on this particular thing without it, because everybody else will felt bad after we get the button on. But we want to be fairly robust with before we publish it, otherwise people will be like,
We get 95 out of 100 policies, and another 5 someone else will dig and find them. They'll humor out my little policy that no one has ever really heard of.
The left handed dog leash policy.
Yeah, go find the left handed dog.
I'll find somebody from
here. Oh my gosh. Amanda Gutenberger, Sarah, and Matthew. You've already
opened it up.
You've already accepted.
Oh, wonderful.
Wow.
That's crazy. Look at that. Congratulations.
I didn't do
anything. I'll think about that. Maybe I can channel that. Less is more, less is more.
Okay.
We got this
first line of my lecture.
Sometimes
when you have a bottle of detergent or gasoline, it's clear. You make a very thin film, you get a rainbow.
Yeah.
So that's who said the quote.
And then I think that was it.
Did you accept it? I got everybody accepting this, and you did nothing.
I'm sitting here looking at it. Look, my iPad's got a broken corner. I can't. What just happened today?
All right.
I'll accept it.
No, it already said you did. This is weird.
Oh, yes.
The integrity of this process, I'm a little skeptical.
You're the arm twisting app.
Yeah.
All right. So that takes care of the list, and within a very short amount of time, we'll have that gathered. I would like to set a deadline on it myself, just because I work better with a deadline. So whatever we've got, when do you think you want to be able to figure out where it lives and how it goes up?
Well, we meet next week. We can talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to meet as a team.
About next Friday?
2 weeks.
If we got everything by next Friday? No, I'm not saying you have to do it next Friday. I'm saying
we'll have all the things.
We're going to, our goal internally is to have everything by Friday.
Okay.
We're going to meet in 2 weeks to go through the applicants. So we could take a minute probably to just...
I would do that in advance of it, honestly. Could you just tip that list right around? It's already on the box, so we can all just sign off and check off and say, yep, looks good. And then you can do into the work whenever after charter day.
Yeah, I can say that I'm not going to do much on this until after charter day.
So, but that doesn't mean that we can't set an internal deadline of everyone upload the policies you think should be on this website by next Friday.
Yep.
Can you show us what it looks like, what we're going to get?
In the box?
Yeah.
Have you ever used the box?
If you get an email.
Is that Dropbox?
Kind of. It's just called the box.
No, I've never used the box.
It's like Cornell's version.
So you will get... will look like this. It's net
web-based
thing. They'll have an invitation. They'll say.
Oh, so then I'll know to get to it.
And then you'll
yes, your invitation says box in the thing. You all you have to do is you click on it.
Not me. I have to mouse it. Okay.
All right, either way.
And then it'll say, you click view folder. If you don't have an account, it'll take you to a Cornell Med ID Kerberos protected thing.
Okay.
You log in. And that's just, in real time, it'll show you the list of people that have access to that folder, any changes that are made. So it's a collaborative workspace.
Okay. I'll do it.
Okay. So if you could let Gutenberger No, that's the name you're saying? Okay. No, John. I couldn't remember his first name. He just kept saying Goody.
Goody
is how he goes by.
Okay. So if you could let him know what's happening, I'll let Juliana, Amanda, and Emily know.
Oh, I didn't ask Juliana. She should be in?
Did she do work on this already?
I mean, she's been at a couple of the meetings. She doesn't have to be, but then I'll let Amanda and Emily know. We'll let Juliana in on this later.
Okay.
So I'll let Amanda and Emily.
But you're going to be sending an email around to people asking them for their policies, right? How are you going to do?
No.
All the policies are online anyway. Yes. I can just find them myself.
So we can put
we
it
just
in
know them. We know them.
So
that's exactly what we do. And then you put a button at the bottom that says, what do we think we didn't know?
Yeah, but this is... All right. The landing page that I'm envisioning is... I'll show you. Because I created one not too long ago for event management.
I was thinking just 3 big buttons. If you are an undergraduate, click here. If you are a blank, click here. Click and it's a list of... And make me some stuff adding so it's easier to parse through.
You're saying you can sort them?
I don't think
we're going that far. But okay. There's a list.
So this is... Doing events at Cornell was the same kind of thing. There were event planners, policies.
Mm-hmm.
Were
we get a picture
everywhere.
Of this room on there?
So this is the landing page. I created none of the content. This is except for this little blurb. Students, faculty, staff, visitors, alumni, planning tools. All this stuff exists. So if we're going to do students, faculty, staff, visitors, alumni, or in this box, we're going to have a gazillion policies. How are we sorting these?
Well, that's what I said. I was not at the level of let's sort them even.
Just dumping them.
It's just a dump.
Yeah.
And, find yourself in it and... To your point, I mean, you could be a student here that has a job here that has to do with a lab, that has to do with faculty, that you know, I can't just go to the student page. I'm going to have to go to the faculty page.
That's true.
This is our problem. Our problem is everything doesn't live in one place.
So just put it there and people will find what they need.
Yeah, alphabetically or what, we'll figure something out.
Okay.
But for right now, it's literally just information gathering. And I think that's how you put it out. Look, we're information gatherers. Here are the policies we think affect your Cornell rights.
All right, well, this is not going to be a public site then until it's finished, though. This can't be. It can't be a Cornell site that, we're putting out there.
Let's just get to the point where we got to listen and see if
we
can do it.
Yeah, that's okay with me. It's not a public site, so it's ready to go public.
Yep.
Okay.
Who would have to approve it before it goes public?
Probably the council's office.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
You take care of that, right?
Wait, we can.
Well,
in terms of
I really don't want to be what's the word I'm looking for?
Promotion?
No. I'm happy, I'm hopeful, but I don't want to be disingenuous. It's easy to spin one of these up, but to make it an accessible, an easy to use, an intuitive and helpful site is going to take time and resources that are not me, not my office. This is something other than, what I'm talking about is it's easily done. Look, we just did one. But to make it comprehensive enough that it's actually helpful to people is going to take, someone who does the code, someone who does all this, and that's okay. It's not a whole lot, but it's not fast. Because there's a lot of work that's going to go into whoever this group is to determine what the buckets are, whether it's just,
Right, so if we come up with the list of stuff, what we want to be on the page, then we can work with all of those people over the summer and hopefully get it up before new students come.
Oh, I doubt it.
Really? It takes that long?
You think it'll be up before the
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
But it would be nice, actually, if it would be possible to have it up before the new students come, just for saying here's...
I think before we can even suppose whether or not we have something up, we need to know what the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's
get
our list. And then see if it's reasonable to do that, even if it's not.
And also, I mean, if we're doing something for the long haul, one more year, I think we haven't had this done, I mean, we're 150 now, we haven't had it for 150 years. Is one more year really going to be that? I mean, it could be great to have it by then, but I'd rather do it right than rushing it out the door and then be like, you probably should have held it for a month and, or 2 months or 6 months or however long it takes. Because once it's done, I want it to make the best quality. People will use it. It's not going to be that thing. Oh, it's poorly done. I'm not going to use that.
Exactly.
See, those are your chances to do the next year's thing.
I vote for you. All right.
I'm getting a tutorial of driving on the train as far as I have that.
If we're done, I would like to just bring up one thing that Mary Beth was going to present today. So she's thinking of ways to streamline the things she does in her office, the way they present things to the, I want her to do it, so it's going to be very general. The way they present the cases to the hearing review board in a way that I sent around this letter that came to me today from somebody in the hearing review board. Actually, it takes a lot of that into consideration, that she doesn't want to be, whether she is or not, she doesn't want to be considered to be on one side or the other.
Yeah.
Whether that's possible, I don't know. And she's thinking of how to redo the system in a way that makes it fairer and faster. And she's at the thought stage, and she wanted our input and just ears so she could say it out loud and then comments back. So. I don't know if we'll have time for that this year, probably not, but that's what she's thinking. And it went very well with what's going on here in terms of if something like how the hearing review board changes or how the cases are presented, it affects rights. So that's it. I'm sorry she couldn't make it.
Okay.
Is this our second to last meeting of this session?
Most
likely. I can give you an update, too.
How many applications?
As of this morning, there were 6, and we just sent it out. It's been on the call. We're talking about the University Hearing and Review Board. We included in the Employee Assembly newsletter, which goes to all staff, temp and regular. It's been on the Cornell homepage, or the website, no, sorry, scratch all that, the Cornell Facebook page, and it's going to be in the paw print, as a paw print flash tomorrow. So, let's see how many there are. They're 9 right now. So, we did this in Qualtrics, and what I'll do is add you all as a board, as the CJC, so that you can have viewing access to it. And,
oh, good.
And all you'll do is, this is what a regular dashboard looks like. These are all my particular surveys. You would just click on that and then view results. It's pretty intuitive. So if you have any questions,
okay.
You know.
If there's a small number, we can read them all each. If there's too large a number, I'll do something about dividing them.
So we expect that there'll be more because we've been doing a big push. I asked my colleagues in University Communications to really help push it out. I was going to ask the FA to push it out on the website.
Can you do that?
Lindsay would be happy to do that.
Yep. all of the assemblies.
Right.
So faculty don't participate in
right.
this mechanism, but they do their own appointments right. through the dean of faculty. So, all right.
Get background checks and everything.
Yeah, blood samples are heard. All right, so I'm going to add you all to this. This will be a separate invitation to collaborate on the, and it's a Qualtrics. Have you done Qualtrics surveys? It's the university's platform for doing a lot of the surveys
yeah.
that you might get.
Oh, yeah, I don't qualify because I never actually, I've worked in the front end, I worked a little bit, but not a lot on the back end.
We use it a lot for the, because it's just easy way to fit up.
Everybody uses it a lot, like every survey, you have like two is
oh, all right.
Clicked on the email you sent about the application, and all of a sudden I have to like apply myself, and I
can do it. You can do it, Randy. Great.
I didn't want to take the time of arguing against myself in front of this board.
So if anybody wants to know why they got an emergency message at 5 o'clock this morning.
Oh, is that about the fire?
Yeah.
Is can the building be saved?
Oh,
yeah,
no, it's gone. Yeah, it's a long story.
Oh, that's a shame.
Gone. They'll be lucky if they can get anything out of the building next to it, even.
No, that's a shame. So, I still miss the ABC Cafe.
Yeah. Lucky nobody's in there. I mean, not nobody was in there. Nobody got hurt. Really lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Really lucky. Can't even, I still can't believe it.
Do they know why it happened?
I live on West, and I woke up at 5 a.m. smelling smoke, and it was going on. And then I looked at my window, and I thought, I'm like, okay, I believe it's not burning, but oh my gosh, that's not good.
My lab is trying to find
it. I mean, see, they did send that press release out. I don't think they've got,
maybe.
Started at 4:30, and it was very quickly, engulfed. They called in Cuba Heights, Lansing. They did manage to search the building, which was helpful. I think there was at least one person at the UCU. They have too much time to check out, so I'm going to bed. We had one unaccounted for a while, but we did locate that person pretty quickly. They were in Germany. Yeah, they were in Germany. So Dryden, Newfield, Trumansburg, and Enfield Fire Departments also came in for relief. And then there were two other fires, one other structure fire that happened down on Aurora Street that they had to leave and go to. There were power outages, natural gas shutdowns.
I woke up to my whole like kitchen resetting.
This is, although both buildings appear to be total losses, the other building suffered some smoke and heat damage. The fire was kept to the two original buildings and the block was saved. And as another iconic Gift Area pub may be lost, no one was killed or injured in a major fire on the East Hill. Apparently that was the other fire. I wonder if that was Oasis? No, it was on 605 Aurora Street, which is, says, and as another iconic Ithaca area pub may be lost, no one was killed or injured in a major fire on the East Hill. I don't know if he's referring to this one or what, but I don't know. That was not a positive footnote in the history of the community that knows all about loss. So no, nothing about the investigation or the start or suspicious or not suspicious. Still to be determined.
What's the bonus about having meetings?
Yeah, I don't know when. I've got to figure out exactly when I want them to start.
Okay. All right.
Because the
rate
is going, I don't even know if
it's
advertised.
So
that's
pretty much fun. To advertise the Bill of
Rights? To advertise joining a working group.
I think you run a risk of people not knowing what they're signing up for, mm-hmm. and getting a bunch of disenfranchised people together. So I would, as came forward with the, I would put it off until you have a little more information.
Yeah, I think maybe for the rest of this semester, most of the work we'll be doing is maybe preparing some sort of survey and getting the website together and worrying about...
Go out at any time.
What?
The survey can go out at any time, and it might actually be better to go out in the summer than it is to go out.
I'm just thinking that at this point, students are already thinking, like, finals. Or at least from the student perspective, like, no student's going to answer something like that during final stories. That might be So, either we could send it out during the summer, I mean, students don't necessarily answer things in the summer either.
Really?
It depends on the student. You'd be surprised.
Well, I mean, my email goes to my phone, so even if I don't answer it, I know I have an email, so I'll see it. And during the summer, except for assembly business, student email trickles out really slow. So if you have your phone and you see one email a week, you're at least going to see what it is. So I don't think the two sides interact, but I think people will at least see it.
So then maybe we can start drafting what the survey would look like so that over the summer or during the orientation week.
We can use Box for that as well. You can start another page. Same outfit. We don't have to send another thing around. Just keep that same.
Put a folder.
Just put a new folder that says questions we'd like to see on the survey.
Exactly. And if we get no response over the summer, then we know, okay, we'll do it in the fall. I mean, it can't hurt. We can say, okay, in case you didn't do it already, do it. Here you go. You didn't have to do.
Yep. Amplify.
Yeah. Don't get amplified. Oh. Oh, glad
that's bad. No, I hope glad it's okay.
Or wherever it is.
It's between 12 and 1. 12 and 1.
Yeah.
It's between 12 and 1.
Yeah. Whatever.
Between Lord Street Hall and the Cornell store.
Yeah. Whatever.
That's it.
Does anybody know what the space working group has come up with?
Jim Blair knows.
The final report has been forwarded to President Scortney. This is prior to make it public. I will be following up coming next fall, regardless of what time you have. I'm really excited to listen for next year, but I will be making sure that if we don't care anything about it, that we will be like asking if we can see it and know where it's going, because it does interact with something.
Yeah, but actually a representative of that group would be somebody we should because that may be the most important policy for the lightning rod policy.
Yeah, I would convene the whole group. We'll just take a rep from it. There was attention.
One of our members, Tabor, was on that group.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, yes, we're thanks for Superman.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.